Okay. So we've already prayed, so don't think I'm sacrilegious because I'm not opening in prayer. But let's turn to John 3:16. It's our launching point. Because I have, I believe, is a short message today, and it's called The Fundamentals of the Call. The Fundamentals of the Call. But first, let's read John 3. I'm going to share verses 16 and 17, and I'm going to share them out of the Message Bible. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Amen? Never forget that. Never. We're not here to condemn anybody for anything, period. Now, while most of my comments, you know, will be directed toward our ordinance, it applies to everyone because everyone has a calling. God has a divine calling and purpose for everyone. And, you know, being a former athlete, you know, I use basketball analogies and things, but as an athlete, one of the things that I learned that if I was going to be successful at the level where I was placed, I had to be fundamentally sound. There are fundamentals that are involved that must be in place. And all of these fancy plays and things, like everything is based on a basic fundamental. And it's the same way spiritually. Spiritually, there are fundamentals that we have to have in place. Michael Jordan said in one of his books, talent wins games, but fundamentals win championships. Well, God would one up on that. Look at 2 Peter 1. And I'm going to share, I believe, verses 9 to 10. I'm in the Amplified Bible. Now, Peter was talking about, you know, letting our faith develop some other characteristics, like steadfastness, long-suffering, and such. And you can read from verse 1. We don't have time to do that today. But in verse 9, he says, for whoever lacks these qualities, or you could say whoever lacks these fundamentals, is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth, having become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his own sins. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Make it certain. Be sure, listen to this. It says, be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. See, he didn't say he was going to make it happen. He said, you make sure. Why? That's a fundamental. It's a fundamental. So I'm going to give you six fundamentals. Because he said, when you're fundamentally sound, he says, by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, or these, of course, fundamentals, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin. So you ready for these fundamentals? Yes. What about the rest of you? Yes. Okay. Every time I hear this, it means it's something I have to do. Yes, it does. First thing we need to understand, your life is in the vine. Your life is in the vine. Go with me to John 15. I may take a little longer on this one because Everything else, all the other five, you have to have this in place. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may also bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, here it is. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Since we're going to answer the call that God has on our lives, since we're going to fulfill his divine purpose, we have to understand that without him, we can't do nothing. Nothing. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Why? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The Phillips translation says, for the plain fact is that apart from me, you can't do nothing at all. Apart from being connected, you can't do anything. He says, the one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. And there's a translation called the Williams Translation. It says, whoever remains in union with me and I in union with him will bear abundant fruit, because you cannot do anything cut off from union with me. Let me show you this little illustration. This isn't a gun. It's not up here for protection. Okay. But it's a hose nozzle. And it's really very interesting, because this nozzle has five different spray patterns. Five. Look, this is shower. Then it has one for mist, flat, stream. You just see that? Full power. You see that? You don't see that. You know why you don't see it? It ain't connected to nothing. Okay. It has all of this potential, but it's not connected. In order for it to work, it needs to be connected. So they have a connection for me. Okay. It's turned on, right? Okay. May I have my bucket? Where's my bucket? Okay. See, so you have to be mindful that when you're moving around, you don't just... Gotcha. See, there is an expectation. When you look and see that it's connected, there's an expectation that something is going to happen because it is connected. It's connected. When we show up and everyone sees that we're connected, they expect something good is going to happen. And if we don't get anything this morning, we have to get the revelation that we can't do nothing, no matter how good we think we are, no matter how much word we think we've learned, we can't do a thing unless we are connected to the source. Amen? I'm going to leave this here for you to think on. Okay? We have to stay connected, because when we are connected, there's an expectation that follows. See, if you master that fundamental, you'll have an easier time with the other six and every other area of your life, because the next five are not going to develop if you don't connect yourself and remain connected to the true vine. Amen? Second one is returning to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 7, I'll wait for you to get there so we can say it together. Are you there? 2 Corinthians, verse 5, King James Version. Let's read it. For we... Is everyone there? 5, verse 7. Okay. Now are we there? Let's read it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The New International Version says we live by faith and not by sight. The easy-to-read version says we live by what we believe will happen, not by what we can see. The Message Bible says it's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. The New Life Version. Our life is lived by faith. We don't live by what we see in front of us. See, Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we're not walking by faith, we're not being pleasing to God. It's really that simple. How many of you like to please God? Then you have to learn how to walk by faith. And it can't be second nature. It has to be your nature. It can't be second nature. There has to be an immediacy. Once you have mastered that fundamental, you won't have to work it up. When a situation happens, you just deal with it. Why? Not because it's in you, it is you. See, it is you. Playing sports, when something happened, I didn't have to think for a minute and say, oh, well, let's see, the heat cut to the left. And what? No, this thing happened like this because it's been rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. So a situation came up and your body just responded. Because it's who you are. It's who you are. I was a rebounder. They said you have a nose for rebounds. No, I went to the gym and I practiced. That's what I did. And I practiced and practiced and practiced some more. And so when things happened, I was there. It became instinctive because it's what I had become. Do we understand? See, my friends, the three Hebrew boys, they didn't have time to work anything up. Okay? They were faced with a challenge. And I like what the Message Bible says. It says they immediately said, when threatened by the king so nefarious, so mean, that his soldiers were willing to die rather than disobey him. And he told them, we're going to play our music and you will bow down or get thrown in the furnace. And immediately they said, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up. When we master that fundamental that we walk by faith and not by sight, doesn't matter what the enemy cooks up. God will deliver you. And you can take it to the next step because since you're walking by faith, your attitude is God has delivered me. So what do? You keep on going. You keep on doing what he called you to do. See, their faith was immediate. Our faith has to be immediate. Because we'll find ourselves in situations, folks, you don't have time to conjure up anything. I was coming home a couple of Sundays ago, and I saw a glare from the left side, and I looked. I'm getting off of Route 80. I see two headlights coming right at me. There was no time to do anything. I just had to let the Spirit of God take over my body, control the wheels, the brakes, everything. And nothing happened to me. Well, I confess that as I travel, I will not encounter anything that will affect me in a negative way. And I wasn't affected in a negative way. I mean, I kind of enjoyed it. I had my first ride in the back of a police car. I told the police officers, can we write a sign and put on the window, this person is not guilty of anything? Because I didn't want them to pass by, stop at a stoplight and one of you see it and just snap a picture. And then it goes viral. Okay. Okay. So it's very important, folks, that we develop that fundamental that we walk by faith and not by sight. Third one, if we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, we need to understand something, or what I like to say is we need to get the revelation that God is faithful. God is faithful. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 23. I got to kick into the second gear here. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He's faithful. God's Words translation says, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. The New Living says, let us tightly hold without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. And since we know God can be trusted to keep his promise, folks, the next thing we have to do is learn a promise. I mean, that's all it is. I like 1 Corinthians 10:13. Not that I dislike the other ones, but I like the way God had this written in the Amplified. Well, this is the original Amplified, the classic. Okay. Verse 13 says, for no temptation. No. This is the Amplified. No trial regarded as enticing to sin. Listen to this. No matter how it comes or where it leads. That's very important, because too many times we allow ourselves to get blindsided. We say, I didn't know it was coming that way. This verse is letting us know it doesn't matter how it comes. Okay. It said, it hasn't overtaken you and laid hold of you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. So if you're going through it, you can resist it if you want to. And that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out. The means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear it up. The Message Bible says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. Then he says, all you need to remember, tell your neighbor, listen to this because this is for you. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Never. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through. Right. Folks, we're talking about God here, okay? The God who said, I watch over my word to perform it. He said, my word never returns to me void. My word will accomplish everything I set it out to accomplish. See, one of the first verses that ever kind of caught my eye as a believer, I think it was my third service over at Peace Hall. It was Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots and in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. See, I don't know why I understood that at that time in my life, but I mean, I was like 3 weeks old as a believer. And I never forgot that. And as Pastor Clinton wrote in his song, I have assurance that he'll take care of me. I have assurance. Why? He's a faithful God. And not only do I have assurance, I can tell him, you promised me. That's why I never fret. That you promised me and you never failed me yet. And there's one other part that we have to remember. You can go to God and say, you can't go back on your word. Everything that you said has, say it with me, got to come true. So since we understand that, why wouldn't we walk by faith and not by sight? Why wouldn't we trust him? We have to understand that he is faithful. Number four, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. In Joshua 24, Joshua told his people, look, you can go on and serve the gods of your fathers, or ancestors, or these gods, or the, whatever it is, you choose this day who you will serve. You make a choice who you will serve. He said, for me and my house, no, we're going to serve the Lord. But you have to choose today, right now, this second, who you are going to serve. Why? You can't have a solid foundation if you're unsure about what you believe. You can't have a solid foundation if you're unsure about who you believe. You cannot. You'll try and run back and forth. You can't straddle the fence. You got to get over to one side or the other. Matthew 6, verse 24. Jesus was very clear. He said, no man, before all this, think, yeah, I can do this. And you must not be a man or a woman. Because Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And despise means look down on with contempt or aversion. The Amplified Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, money, possession, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than God. Then there's WNT translation, takes it a little deeper. It says, no man can be the bond servant of two masters. For he will either dislike one and like the other, or he will attach himself to one and think slightly of the other. You cannot be the bond servants, both of God and gold. Now, in most cases, I mean, I don't have time to give you the whole definition and all of those things, but just in most cases, bond servant refers to a person in a permanent role of service. A bondservant was considered the property of a Roman citizen holding no right to leave his place of service. See, a bondservant has no rights. If I'm serving this podium, I can't leave. So how can I be the bondservant of two masters? I have to make a choice. Which one am I going to serve? Romans 6, verse 16, in the Living Bible says, don't you realize that you can choose your own master? Don't you realize that? Satan can't make you do anything. That comedian was just being funny when he said, the devil made me do it. If we've been given, since we've been given power over all the power of the enemy, physical and ability, strength, over all the powers the enemy possess, how can he make us do anything? We choose our own master. You can choose sin with death, or else obedience with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. And you really need to understand this. Who you serve is an indicator of what's in your heart. It's an indicator of what you treasure. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, so shall your heart be also. And so who you serve is an indicator. You cannot serve God and worldly stuff. You can't. I don't care how much you like the fashion. I don't care what anybody says. You have to make a choice as to who you're going to be. And who you're going to be is dependent on who you're going to serve. We understand. I'm going to talk about the last two together because it's submit to God and fight the good fight of faith. And I have to put them together. Okay, because James 4, verse 7, I know we're all familiar. How many are familiar with that scripture? Okay, now how many of you actually submit? I'm not going to look. Okay. I don't know why people have a problem with that word submit, but it seems to bring out stuff in folks. You know, unless you're demanding someone submit to you. Okay. But James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. See, when we find ourselves getting in trouble, we'll say, I resist you, devil, and you have to flee. And then he doesn't go anywhere. And you're wondering why. You're not submitted to God. You have to do it in the right order. Okay? The Barclay translation says, so then, and I love the way this translation is written. He says, accept the authority of God. Accept God's authority. Take a stand against the devil and he will run away from you. That's why we can fight the good fight of faith. If we're not submitted to God, we're not going to fight well in anything. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, 12, I just said part of it. I'm in the Amplified version. It's for fight the good fight of faith. It goes on to say, in the conflict with evil, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made a good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. The Centenary Translation says, keep contending in the noble contest of faith. And as I said earlier, I put them together because it's absolutely impossible to fight the good fight of faith if you are not submitted to God. See, if we know we're supposed to stay connected in order to accomplish anything and to walk by faith and that God is faithful and that we shouldn't serve two masters and we know the person we want to save is God, why is submitting to him such an issue? Why is keeping ourselves in his, recognizing his authority so difficult if we really understand that he's God? In the Amplified Bible in Luke 22, Satan was asking Jesus permission because he wanted the disciples. And this is what the how the Amplified Bible says Jesus told it. That Simon, Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him, now listen to what he said, out of the power and keeping of God. That's what Satan wanted. He wanted to get Peter out of the power and keeping of God. Because as long as Peter was in the power and keeping of God, there wasn't a thing that the enemy could do to him. And there's not a thing the enemy can do to you if you stay in the power and keeping of God. Do you understand that? So, see, as far as the devil is concerned, when we refuse to submit to God, it's open season. It's open season on us. And we don't have a leg to stand on because we're out there by ourselves. And we weren't designed to operate that way. We were designed to be connected to the vine, to the true vine. But in order to submit, you need to understand what submit means. And there are a lot, looking at the concordance and the dictionaries, and we're narrowing it down to just these two. To give over or yield to the power or authority of another. One of the things that, like so many, Pastor Ed and I, we had to do, we had to give ourselves over to the power and authority of Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah. Since we're the ones that said, these are the pastors God gave us after their heart. So we felt, and I can say this because we've had conversations about this, there was no reason whenever God's heart asked us to do something, there was no reason for us to pray about it. Why do I have to pray about whether or not I'm going to be obedient to God's heart? That's the way, I don't know why I saw it that way, but that's the way I saw it. That's the way Pastor Ed saw it. And so we submitted ourselves. Now, understand this. You can submit and not like it. Okay? There's some things we didn't like. There's some things we didn't understand. But it had nothing to do with submission. Things are going to come up you're not going to understand. God's going to require you to do things. You're going to think he's lost his mind. Submit. I love what Pastor Lewis said. They said they were going to go to the mountain, jump off, and go up. You're like, what? What, they filled with helium? No, they know how to walk by faith. And not by, they were submitted to God. And since he's the one that sent them, it was his responsibility to keep them. All they had to do was remain in his power and keeping. And that's all God expects from any of us. Because if we remain in his power and keeping, everything is going to be all right. And I'm going to close, but I got to tell you this. Okay. Stop laughing, Deborah. Okay. You got to see this. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 to 27. Because there was a reason why I trained the way that I did. There was a reason why I practiced the way I practiced. It says, now every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers. But we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave. so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. Easy to Read says, all who compete in the games use strict training. They do this so they can win a prize, one that doesn't last. But our prize is one that will last forever. So I run like someone who has a goal. I fight like a boxer who's hitting something. See, if something's in front of me and I hit it, I don't hit it and run away, wondering if I moved it. No, I hit it and keep going forward because I hit it. So I don't expect it to still be there. It is my own body, my fight, to make it do what I want. This is my body. I fight to make my body do what I want. I have to make my mind think what I want it to think and not what this flesh may want it to think. I do this so that I won't miss getting to the prize myself after telling others about it. See, folks, the reason I trained, and athletes, especially world-class athletes, train the way they do so that in any particular situation, their body will respond as needed. If it's not in shape and you have to make a quick move, your body's like, what are you talking about? Maybe tomorrow, okay? No, I had to train because there's no guarantee that the game was only going to last 48 minutes. Sometimes it has to go into overtime. Once it went into triple overtime. I did. I played every second of a triple overtime game. On the way back home, I had cramps in both legs. But my body did what my coach told it to do because it had been trained. We have to get to the place where we have our spirits trained, our minds trained, our body fit. So whatever it is God tells you to do, your body will respond. We have to understand this thing, folks. These are fundamentals of the call. Strictly discipline our bodies. Make our bodies stay connected. Walk by faith, not by sight. Understand that God is faithful. Serve only God, because you know we can't serve two masters. Submit to God and fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand those fundamentals? Amen. And then like the scripture says, if you do those things, you will never stumble or fall. Father, thank you. Give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for sharing those fundamentals with us this morning. And thank you that by your Spirit, you'll give us the revelation of each one. And you'll highlight the areas in our lives that are lacking those fundamentals. And we commit, Father, to working them to the point where they just happen. We won't have to think, oh, I got to walk by faith in this. We just walk by faith. I don't have to think, oh, I guess I need to submit to God. We just submit. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.